is which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. We will not talk about hard boys.
He's Dean, and he's here with us
right now.
He's
Dean, Wendy. We can't debate it. He is Dean Richards. Dean, you did something so nice today. You went back in time, didn't you?
I did go back in time. I built a time machine, and I went back and changed the course of World War II.
But you also, you went to the theater you went to as a young boy. You hadn't been there in a while, and you went back.
This is, I did my live reports this morning on the TV news from the Avalon Regal Theater. Back when this theater opened on 79th Street on the south side, it was called the Avalon Theater. It was in 1927. I didn't go there in 1927 because I wasn't born yet.
Right.
But it was a vaudeville theater first. It's one of these beautiful old palaces that was a vaudeville theater and then became a movie theater. That's when I went there. And saw my first movies there. It's the first theater that I ever went to. So, you know, the very first movies that I ever saw were at that Avalon Theater. I would go with my brothers. They would begrudge. I have three older brothers. I'm the youngest, so they would begrudgingly have to drag along, you know, their little baby brother with, and they didn't want to. So the second that we got to the theater, they would ditch me.
Oh.
And, you know, I'm sitting in the movie theater. I have no idea where they went, you know, probably up in the balcony smoking or who knows what.
Those kids.
But and I'm sitting there, literally, I'm like 7 or 8 years old. And we used to go there and see Jerry Lewis movies and horror movies, you know, whatever the horror movie of the day was. And I think it was a Boris Karloff movie. I think it was Pitt and the Pendulum.
Oh, sure. Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, something super scary happened. And I remember being so scared, I screamed at the top of my lungs and ran out into the lobby of the theater. Oh. And I sat out in this lobby for the rest of the movie because I was so scared and waited for my brothers to come back so they could walk me home because I was too little to walk home by myself. Well, that's what I remember. But I know we went and the family would go to, you know, see the movies when they came out, How the West Was Won.
Yeah.
You know, just like some of the great classics on this enormous screen. Through the years, the theater went into disrepair and was renovated in the early 1980s and became a live performing theater. And was given a new name, the Regal, in honor of the old Regal Theater that was at 47th and what is now King Drive. So they renamed it the Regal, and anybody who is anybody in R&B, rap, hip-hop, soul, even more than that, appeared and played at the Regal Theater. I saw many acts there. I saw many Motown reviews. I saw Stevie Wonder there. I saw Patti LaBelle blow the roof off the place back in the day, you know, when she had a new attitude.
That would explain the disrepair, Dean. You blow the roof off the place, you got to fix it.
You got to fix a roof that's been blown off. Anybody knows that. That's simple mathematics.
And isn't it Kanye West who's kind of funding this repair job?
Yes. Yeah. Kanye donated $1 million. I mean, say what you want about Kanye.
Yeah.
He also grew up in this theater, seeing acts in this theater, and it means something to him. And he donated $1 million toward its renovation. So this young entrepreneur who bought the building out of foreclosure, I think it was like 7 years ago, something like that. He's trying to bring the theater back and make it a performing arts theater again, and theater and, you know, someplace where community groups can do theater and so forth. It's kind of cool to see, you know, what's happening of trying to bring this theater back. What's also interesting is that a couple of weeks ago, I interviewed Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Got his final Madea movie is out. He is on a tour right now doing his final Madea stage show. And that Madea stage show, the Madea's Farewell, I think it's called, is at the Eric Crown Theater starting tonight through Sunday. So I know Tyler Perry is a huge Bill and Wendy fan. He mentioned that.
Thank you.
He mentions that to me all the time. I'm trying to talk about his movies, and all he wants to talk about is Bill and Wendy.
Oh.
And does she really take probiotics?
Yes, I do, tell him.
He asks me all the time.
Oh.
He's a huge fan. So he may be listening.
Tyler Perry
may be listening.
Hi, Tyler.
If you are, go back. He told me this is where Madea started, at the Regal Theater. He's in town. Go back home. Pay him a visit. And while you're there, write him a check for $1 million, too. He carries that around in pocket change.
Dean, when I was a young boy, my brother took me to that theater, and we were watching a Tyler Perry movie, and I was so scared that I ran off into the lobby, and I stayed there.
And Madea's nothing to mess around with.
No.
I understand that.
No.
Yeah.
Well, what a great experience for you today.
Have you ever gone back to an old house or your old school, you know, or something like that? It's surreal to walk into some place like that and be in these surroundings now as a grown up, you know, and just you can practically see your little self running around the theater, goofing around with your friends. You know, my friends and I, when we got older, we would go there ourselves and, you know, goof around and just run all over the place like we own the joint.
Dean, my dad always tells stories, and I know there's a huge age difference between my dad and you, but he says when he was a kid, on a weekend, on a Saturday, he and his friends would go to a movie theater, and they would see three movies back to back to back, plus like newsreels, which they would show between the movies, plus commercials and stuff that they would show in the theaters. He said you'd be at the theater for
all day, eight, nine
hours.
Yeah, I'm sure that was part of the thinking of all the brothers going to the theater, you know, together in her house, because we would go on Saturday, and you would get. I know for sure that we got some. It was either Three Stooges or Buster Keaton, or you know, something like that. Some of the old movie shorts. We'd get some of those. I know that I was introduced to the Pink Panther cartoon.
Yeah.
They would show a couple of those every week, and then they would get to the main feature. And you know, usually it was a Jerry Lewis movie or, you know, whatever the, you know, movie was of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in this would be in the 60s and 70s. And of course, horror movies that left me traumatized. You know, the thing about it is now, you know, all my brothers are much older than I am now, and as they always have been. But, you know, eventually I'm going to be in charge of their health care, and payback is not going to be free for them.
Good. You have to have a plan. Good.
I was thinking back, I think my first movie at a theater was at the Olympic Theater in Cicero, and my grandma took me to see Funny Girl.
I think that was
my first movie, and I loved it.
Right?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And I believe that's one of those beautiful old, like gorgeous,
ornate.
You know, these movie theaters were like palaces.
Yep.
You know, just
the
so
velvet
intricate,
seats.
Like palaces.
Right. Curtains would open and close before the main feature.
Yes, you could see the screen behind it.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Magical.
And everyone's got. I think, you know, most everybody of a certain age who grew up with a theater like that, whether it's on the north side or the, you know, out in the suburbs. You know, I was just out at the Tivoli in Downers Grove on New Year's Eve with Steve Cochran, and the Paramount Theater was a vaudeville house that became a movie house that's now live performing. I hope that this Avalon Regal Theater at 79th and Stoney can follow in the footsteps of the Paramount and become, you know, successful. It's the biggest theater south of the Loop. It's like 2,400 seats. It's an enormous theater, and it's a shame that it's not being used to its full potential.
Yep, no doubt about it. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, and then Dean will tell us what movies are coming out this weekend. That's coming up in just a little bit.
All right, we, Bill and Wendy, are talking to Dean Richards. All right, Dean, you're at your microphone now.
I am. It's amazing, isn't it?
After you're traveling
you don't sound
pants
winded or anything.
Yeah, I always sound like that. What do you mean? I always sound winded.
Dean, this weekend, the Marvel version of Captain Marvel is coming out, but I find this fascinating. For years and years and years, DC Comics and Marvel Comics have each had a character named Captain Marvel, and no one's done a movie version of it. There was a Captain Marvel on Saturday morning kids' TV for a while.
I remember that.
Yeah, and that was fine. But now there's a movie version of the Marvel Captain Marvel coming out. And then DC's version, they're calling it Shazam, I think, is coming out soon. Why did this happen? Why did both companies put out similar characters at the same time?
It's amazing, isn't it? That they, I mean, especially in that Marvel is in the name of the character.
Right.
Why DC would even, you know, do that? Maybe it was just to poke... poke the bear, you know.
Maybe.
I don't really know, but I know that it was tied up in litigation for a long time, and that's why Marvel was not able to do a Captain Marvel anything for a little while, because it was tied up in litigation between the two. But that was finally settled. Once it was settled, Marvel didn't even really want to do anything with it. But they had to. They had to do like two or three like comic books, a little something just to be able to hold on to the rights to the character and the name. And then it was, you know, finally, I don't know if DC lost interest or, you know, decided to, you know, move on to their own things. I'm kind of looking forward to this Shazam movie that's coming.
They both look good. Both versions look good.
Yeah, Shazam looks like it's going to be a little bit like Deadpool, like sort of the very irreverent kind of superhero movie. But Captain Marvel is, I think, really well done. Everyone was a little bit surprised, and now that I've seen it, delighted that Brie Larson takes on the role of Captain Marvel that you might think might be go to a male actor instead of a female. But she does just an amazing job with this character, who is, you know, this really is an origin story. It kind of, at least half the movie explains who she is and how she got to be the way that she is. She is, you know, someone who is believed to have been from Earth. Her blood was fused with an alien race, the Kree race.
They're bad guys.
They are bad guys. And but it gave her superpowers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men, if I may borrow from the Superman legacy on that, because she developed superpowers, and because of those powers, then was trained in an elite Kree military squad. So she became sort of Kree as a result of it, and in fighting off bad elements in the universe, battle took them to the planet Earth, set in the mid-90s. And this is where a battle royale goes on. And the movie, it doesn't really break new ground, but it's done really, really well. It's really fun. The action makes sense. The action's, you know, the effects, everything are just really great. But what is the real key to this movie are, number one, Brie Larson's complete charisma. She is so likable in this role. As she's kind of, it doesn't really remember what her past is, trying to search for it. She is just absolutely charismatic in the role. And what this movie does for female empowerment, for girl empowerment, run this weekend and take your daughters, your nieces, you know, and go see this movie. It's one of the best, right up there, I think, with Wonder Woman.
Oh, good.
And telling young women, especially girls, especially, you can do anything, you can be anything. That's the overriding message of this movie, which is great. Jude Law's in the movie in a supporting role, but Samuel L. Jackson, who is in just about every Marvel movie there is, a little bit, is featured a lot more in this movie. So it's great to get a little bit more of his character, Nick Fury. What they do is de-age him in the movie. When you see Samuel L. Jackson in this movie, he looks about 30 years younger than he does in real life. With special effects, they were able to digitally take the years off.
That's excellent.
So when I talked to Sam Jackson and Brie Larson a couple of weeks ago, I said to Sam Jackson, "Where do I go sign up for that?" I'm all for that. Whatever it is, some of that.
Dean, are there any scenes in this movie where the superhero learns that they have superpowers but is reluctant to use those superpowers.
Well, there are scenes in this movie where the superhero learns she has superpowers, but has to learn to harness them.
Oh, I would like to see that in a superhero movie.
Yeah, that would be a little thing with Captain Marvel. You know, these young superheroes, they're exploding stuff all over the place. They have no control. You know, they go to yawn. You know, they go, like do their arms like when you yawn,
yep,
and blow up two buildings on either side of them. You got to control yourself when you're Kree.
Right.
When you're part Kree.
Yep. Kree Larson.
You got to be careful.
Right.
So
true.
Yeah, so I liked it. I gave it a B+.
That's excellent. And this is part of the ramp up to the big Avengers movie that's coming in a couple of months. That's going to be the biggest movie of the year probably, right?
The Avengers movie?
Yeah, part two of that.
Yes. I think that will be the case. The Avengers Endgame is what it's called. Is going to open April 26th, which is, it's not that far away right now. So, yes, that'll be part of it. And, you know, these are the ones, the Avengers movies are the ones that, you know, push the envelope, change the bar, change everything. But, you know, this Captain Marvel movie, it kind of felt like it was just going to be sort of a quick add-on.
Yeah.
Especially because of the... you know, the history of the Captain Marvel universe of being sort of ignored by Marvel, now owned by Disney. They did a really good job in, you know, telling the story and putting this out there. It's a really fun movie.
I'm anxious to see it.
Yeah, B+ for this one.
Excellent.
There's another movie. It's a little foreign movie that's opening, and I feel like I have to mention these now that Roma did so well yes, at the Academy Awards.
You are required by law.
Here's another film that you're going to have to read and not sit back and enjoy. It's called Climax. This is about a group of Parisian dancers having a fun night of the expression of human form,
mm-hmm,
until somebody spikes the sangria with LSD.
Oh,
why do they do things like this?
Yeah, and then everything just goes off the track. I didn't like the movie. I like that it's such a goofy premise.
Yeah,
and it's all in French. By the way,
you sold. Ooh, I'm sold. Dean, thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend.
That's Dean Richards. A little break, then Wendy and I are headed toward the stream, but you have a chance to either join us there, or you can stay right here and listen to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch. Two good options coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.